The first rite in the daily temple ritual was known as Terumat HaDeshen, the lifting and removal of the ashes. A Kohen clad in linen clothes would ascend the ramp of the altar and lift up some of the ashes that had been left by the fire that burned the day before. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah Episode 80, Out of the Ashes. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It was a classic New York Times article about Israel. As I described in an article in commentary, several years ago, the architecture critic of the Times wrote a piece about a planned construction of a cable car that would link the new city of Jerusalem to the Ir HaTika, the ancient sacred city. This would help Jews that have difficulty with stairs to find their way to the Western Wall, as well as to help ease the traffic flow toward the most cherished parts of the Old City. The article cited critics of this proposal, and it did so sympathetically, critics that referred to it as a quote-unquote Disneyfication of the city. At this point, the following sentence appeared in the Times piece, quote, "Modern Jerusalem was spared Disneyfication, first, by the highborn culture of British colonialism, with its awe for the city's antique past, and next, by Jordanian paralysis, which froze the old city as if in amber." End quote. Froze the old city as if in amber. The article, of course, makes no mention of the fact that when the Jordanian legion took the old city, some of the most celebrated and cherished synagogues, beloved by worshippers for centuries, were destroyed by the legion. Among these synagogues was the Churva, a house of worship that was named with the word ruin because it was built on the site where an earlier synagogue had been burned down by an Arab mob. After reducing the Churva to rubble, a Jordanian legion leader proclaimed that, quote, "For the first time in 1,000 years, not a single Jew remains in the Jewish quarter, not a single building remains intact. This makes the Jews' return here impossible," end quote. This is what the New York Times called preserving in amber. As I further noted in commentary, these words in the Times piece have been written either out of astonishing ignorance or deliberate dishonesty, or perhaps we are presented with another pernicious possibility that, as I put it for the New York Times, the preservation of Jerusalem is entirely consistent with the destruction of its Jewish sanctuaries and the eradication of its Jewish presence. Be that as it may, if one truly wishes to speak, well, the truth, then the Jordanian entry into the Old City marked not preservation, but destruction. Destruction that was seen, purportedly, as ensuring that Jews would not return. But of course, return Jews did. The writer Pua Steiner, who grew up as a child in the Jewish quarter of the Old City and remembered the Churva with love, describes how in 1967 she returned and saw the rubble of the synagogue. As all who entered the Jewish quarter rejoiced, she wept. She writes, quote, "I gazed at the stump of the shattered bima, the marble bima, and hid my face in my hands. This then was indeed the Churva. This was all that was left of that grand synagogue, the magnificent holy ark, the decorated walls, the stained glass windows, the star-shaped dome, the chandeliers, all in ruins," end quote. But of course, the Churva has now been rebuilt. The synagogue named for ruin because it was once built on essentially the ashes of an earlier synagogue, has now been rebuilt again atop the rubble that was wrought by the Jordanian legion. And the point, as I reflected in commentary, is that in the end, perhaps what bothers the purveyors of lies such as the one about preservation in amber, perhaps what bothers these purveyors is less the Disneyfication of Jerusalem, and more that all of Jewish Jerusalem through the ages is actually akin to the Churva itself, constantly rises from the ashes, thereby, as I reflected, embodying a Jewish people that phoenix-like refuses to die and eternally ascends from out of the ruins. It is with this in mind that we can approach our mitzvah for the day, which is all about ashes. The first rite in the daily temple ritual was known as Terumat HaDeshen, the lifting and removal of the ashes. A Kohen clad in linen clothes would ascend the ramp of the altar and lift up some of the ashes that had been left by the fire that burned the day before. For the anonymous Book on the Mitzvot, authored in the medieval period, Sefer HaChinuch, the Book of Education, The removal of the ashes is meant to enhance the fire. Or as he put it, and this is the Sepharia translation, it is adorning the altar to remove the ashes in the place in which it is fitting to light the fire, and also that the fire burns nicely when there are no ashes underneath it. Ashes, every morning, are removed from the temple altar, and the constant flame upon the altar burns brightly. This is not only a description of what would occur every day when the temple stood. It captures in sublime symbolism and profound poetry the very story of Jewish Jerusalem and of the Jewish people itself. If you walk into the Eitz Chaim Library in the Portuguese synagogue in Amsterdam, you will see the sign of the Sephardic community that settled in the Netherlands in the 17th century after living as secret Jews for so many years. It is the phoenix rising out of the fire, ascending out of the ashes. The flame, of course, represents the Inquisition, the torture, the pain, the persecution, the trials, Torquemada. The phoenix represents them, the Jews that have returned, the Jews that were thought by Spain and Portugal to have disappeared, the Jews that had stubbornly, suddenly come back, rebuilt communities, created synagogues and sanctuaries, and sang the songs and prayed the prayers of their ancestors of centuries past. From ashes to flame, the ashes make way for the flame. This is the story of the Churva synagogue. This is the story of Jewish Jerusalem. The ashes that came before were followed by the flame of Judaism burning brightly, by the beacon of faith, a sign of a covenantal people that will never be extinguished. It is a seemingly simple verse, Leviticus 6:3. Vehirim et hadeshen, asher tochal ha'esh, etola ala mizbeach. He shall lift up the ashes of the elevation offering from the altar. But that verse is joined with another nearby, which we have also discussed in this series. Esh tamid tukad ala mizbeach lo tichbe. An eternal flame shall burn on the altar. It shall never be extinguished. This is the true Jerusalem that, as I reflected in my article, is preserved in amber. It is the Jerusalem that resides in the Jewish soul, a vision that the distortions of the quote-unquote paper of record are impotent to affect, a vision of Jerusalem that is the ultimate embodiment of Jewish eternity. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.